Let's turn to God's Word now. And I was going through some stuff at home, as you do. A small suitcase of photographs, pictures from my family history. And tucked in among the photographs, I came across these three letters. They were written by me to my wife, who was in Scotland at the time, 1968, the postmarks. She was in Scotland, I think, awaiting the arrival of one of our children. And I came across these letters, and I opened them up and had a read. And I thought, did I really do that? Was I really there? Did I really write that to Helen? Goodness me. Yes. Letters. Letters of importance. Part of our New Testament is a compilation of letters. Letters written by one of the leaders in the first century church, a man called Paul. And Paul wrote a number of letters to different church groups across the Mediterranean world. But there are two letters that link up together. One is a letter to the church, the fellowship of believers in the southern Turkey town of Colossae, a letter to the Colossians. But there's another letter, it's a shorter letter, written to one of the members of that church, a man called Philemon. And Paul was writing to the general community, but he also wrote to Philemon. Philemon was one of the leaders in the church. And back in those days, yeah, people were entitled to have slaves, I guess, and servants. And one of Philemon's servants ran away, a fellow called Onesimus. We don't know why he ran away, but he for whatever reason, he ran away. And somewhere along the line, he encountered Paul. And Onesimus became a follower of Jesus. And so Paul said, you need to go back. You need to go back to your master, Philemon. And he wrote a letter. Paul wrote a letter to Philemon saying, receive Onesimus, not as a slave, not as a servant. Receive him as a brother in Christ. He's part of the family of God. Welcome him as you would welcome me. You can compare the letters later. These two letters written to people in Colossae. And I want to just pick out one or two things from the letter, the general letter that Paul wrote to his friends in Colossae, although he'd never been there. He'd never met any of them. Well, as far as we know, the church in Colossae had been planted, if you like, by a man called Epaphras, a friend of Paul's, and he preached the gospel. He shared the good news of Jesus, and people began to respond to the good news that Epaphras was sharing. And Paul got to hear about this group of believers in Colossae, and so he wrote to them. And at the beginning of the letter in Colossians chapter 1, the first few verses, Paul states who he is. I'm Paul. Yeah. He identifies himself. And then he says, I am an apostle of Christ Jesus. An apostle is someone who's been sent with a specific message or a specific purpose. And I thought about this, that for those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus, God has placed on us a specific purpose to go to our world and share the good news. So in a sense, all of us are apostles. We've got a special commission from Jesus to go to our world. That's what Jesus said to his followers. His words are recorded in the Gospels. You go to your world and you make disciples, reproduce people of faith just like yourself. So that's a bit of a challenge to start off with. Here we are. Are you an apostle? Are you acting as an apostle? Are you working as an apostle of Christ Jesus. And Paul says, I'm an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Paul didn't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to be an apostle. He said, God had a plan for me. God had a purpose for me. I'm an apostle by the will of God. Did you know that this morning you are here by the will of God? He wants you to be here. He wanted you to be here because he wants you to hear his word and to worship him and to praise him as we've been doing already. But you're here not by accident. You're here by the will of God. All of us here by the will of God. Paul goes on to say, I'm not alone here. I'm sending you greetings from Timothy. Timothy, my brother. Or Timothy, our brother. Timothy, part of the family of Jesus. When you look around this morning, you might be the only child in your natural family, but look around. Hey, you've got brothers and sisters here. Hey, well, yeah, look around. Yeah. Just think. I'm your brother. Could anything be worse? Well, I don't know about Mike. We've had this conversation by email this week. I'm your brother. Yeah, with a Scottish accent. Bill McSee, Bill McCaldwell. Yeah, Timothy. I'm with Timothy, Paul says. Do you notice when you read through the stories of Paul in the Acts of the Apostles and through his letters, he never works alone. He's always in partnership with somebody. He's always got somebody alongside with him. Sometimes he takes the lead, sometimes someone else takes the lead, but there's always that team effort. And there's a pattern there for us within the church in Gornal. We're not lone rangers. There's no place for the lone ranger in the kingdom of God, although the lone ranger did have Tonto, I suppose, and a horse. But Paul sets it out in his letters. He's always working with somebody. He's answerable, if you like, to somebody, or he's with someone else who will challenge him or who will encourage him, working in team. I've used this kind of little story before, so forgive me if you're hearing the repetition. But there was a journalist who was interviewing one of the Roman Catholic popes in Rome. And the journalist said to the Pope, how many people work at the Vatican? And the Pope says, ooh, about half of them. How many people work in Himley Road Church? Half? We're working in team, in partnership. God encourages us to be together, just as Jesus did with his friends, the immediate 12 disciples and relatives the extended families. Jesus worked in team, in partnership. That's verse 1. And he sends greetings to the holy and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ at Colossae. The holy and faithful. We sometimes think, when we read the word holy, we sometimes think of saints with halos. You know, somebody special. Someone who is exalted. Holy. Now, the word holy simply means set apart, different, set apart for special purpose. Now, if you came to my house, and some of you might, if you came to my house and I was in a particularly good mood that day, I might invite you in, and I might offer you a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. Now, I might just take one of the mugs in the kitchen and make you a cup of tea or coffee in the mug. But if I was in a very, very special mood, I might go to the display cabinet in the corner and I might take out the china cups and the china saucers. And the china cups and the china saucers are not hung up in the kitchen. They're holy. They're set apart for special purpose. And Paul writes to the Christians in Colossae and he says, you have been set apart. God has chosen you for a special and specific purpose. You're holy, set apart. And then he says, to the holy and faithful brothers and sisters, that word faithful can be translated believers, or it can be translated believable. Well, that was a bit of a challenge for me. Holy and believable. Does my life, do my actions match up with my words? I'm a believer, but is my life believable? Not all the time. Not all the time. Paul writes to these folks in Colossae and says, hey, make sure your life is, as a believer, is believable. Don't let your actions contradict what you believe in. Many years ago, and it is many years ago, when I was an apprentice working in an electrical engineering company, and I was learning my trade, and I was a bit rigid, a bit legalistic, I suppose, a bit awkward as a teenager, as some teenagers are. You probably aren't like me, but we started at 8:30 in the morning. And we had a tea break at 10 o'clock. And one morning, my boss, the head of the department, said, Bill, go and make me a cup of tea. That was the apprentice's job, one of them anyway. Go and make me a cup of tea. And I said, it's only 20 to 10. He said, go and make me a cup of tea. I said, but tea break's 10 o'clock. And you know, we should stick to the times. Make me a cup of tea, Bill. And I said, I'll make you a cup of tea at 10 o'clock. He said to me, you tell me that you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus. Don't talk to me about Jesus ever again. My actions betrayed my words. And it took months before I was able to even mention church or my faith or anything to do with what I believed. He refused to listen to me because I was unbelievable. I was so rigid and legalistic. And Paul says to the Christians in Colossae, make sure that you're believable. And then he goes on to say, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Oh, what beautiful gifts, grace and peace. Did you see in the news recently, it's been in the local news, that there are plans to build an ice rink in Dudley. We'll all be able to go skating. Yeah, well, in Dudley. We won't need to go to Telford or wherever else. To the ice rinks. Going to be an ice... Oh, have you ever done any ice skating? Oh, yeah. Some of you have. I have too. And I can describe in some detail what the ceiling of the ice rink looked like. Oh, I wasn't very graceful when it came to skating. And then I think of people like Torville and Dean. Some of you might be old enough to remember Torville and Dean, the Olympic stars, gold medalists, I think. And when you watch them, I was watching a piece of film recently of them, and as they glide beautifully across the surface of the ice, just how amazingly graceful they were, full of grace. Paul says to the Colossians, may you be blessed with the grace of God to be gracious, to be graceful. Especially be gracious to one another, but also to be gracious to the people in our community that we meet day by day. May you know the grace of God. It's very difficult sometimes to be gracious when you want to punch somebody in. No, I wouldn't do that. But sometimes we fail to be gracious. The writer Philip Yancey wrote a book called What's So Amazing About Grace. It's a great book. He grew up in a church where there was rules and regulations to be observed, but not much sign of grace. And it wasn't until later in his life that he went to another church and he saw it was different. The people were gracious to one another and gracious in their reaching out to people that didn't normally come to church. And Philip Yancey began to explore the theme of grace. How gracious was Jesus in so many different circumstances, full of grace and truth. That's what one of the gospel writers said about Jesus. We saw him full of grace. Lord, would you help me to be like you, full of grace. Paul goes on to bless the people in Colossae who are reading this letter or who are hearing this letter being read out. Grace and peace. May you know the peace of God, the completeness of God. Jesus said, I've come to give you peace. I've come to give you life in all its completeness. The word shalom can be translated peace, but it can also be translated be complete, being complete. May you know the completeness of God. And Paul goes on to talk about that in his letter. The fullness of God was in Jesus, and that fullness has been implanted into us. Lord, may I have a transplant of peace today. When stuff hits our lives and things aren't going so well, when events take place that are challenging for us to manage or to deal with, Lord, will you give me peace? The peace of God in me. And it might be this morning that you just need to receive the gift of grace or the gift of peace for you right now. Paul goes on to write to these folks in Colossae. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. We've heard of the love you have for all the believers, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you've already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Faith and love. Paul says, I've heard about you. Your reputation has reached me. We think Paul might have been writing from Rome or from Ephesus. We're not sure where Paul was at the time when he wrote this letter and the letter to Philemon. But Paul says, I've heard about you. I've never met you. I've never been in your place, in your church, but I've heard about you. I was just wondering, what reputation does Himley Road Methodist Church have in the community? And making it a bit more personal, what kind of reputation do you have in the community? Do people see, do people know, do people recognize your faith? That you're a man or a woman of faith, or love for all the saints, for all the love for everyone? Paul is writing not just to encourage, but to challenge. I've heard about you. If we were to do a poll around Gornal, in Gornal Wood, say, what do you think of Himley Road Methodist Church? What might people write in there? How might people respond? Paul says, I've heard about your faith. I've heard about your love, because you have a living hope. Your faith and love come from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. Have you got that faith, that belief that God has a place for you in heaven? The people of Colossae had heard the good news about Jesus. That good news that wasn't just transforming their lives now, but gave them the concrete assurance that as they looked ahead, there would come a time when they would see Jesus face to face. They would be together with him in heaven. A hope. I've told you before, I'm sure. I've told you before about my father-in-law. My father-in-law was a man of hope. Every time he went into the bookies to place a bet, he lived in hope. And sometimes the horse that he backed at 10 to 1 didn't arrive at the winning post until 20 past 5. But he gambled away so much money, it was unbelievable. My mother-in-law struggled at times just to feed the family. My father had a hope, but it was frequently dashed. Paul writes here about a hope, a living experience for now and for the future. And sometimes, yeah, as human beings, we're concerned when someone has some incurable illness, or when someone is coming to the end of their journey in this life, and we're sad because we're human beings and we have relationships. Ian, we've been thinking about you. I've been thinking about you this week, but rejoicing that Brenda has been released from all the limitations of this life. There's a living hope, and the hope of reunion, a hope of reunion. We will be together with the Lord. Paul says, your hope, your living hope in Jesus for the future as well as for the present means that you share your faith and your love. You want other people to be in the same situation. You want other people to discover life in all its completeness. And Paul goes on to encourage the believers in Colossae. He says, you can see God at work where you are. This gospel is bearing fruit all over the world, not just here. And you've heard the grace of God. You've heard about God's grace and God's love and God's care and God's kindness and God's compassion. And you have received that into your lives, and it's bearing fruit. And I've heard about you. And I've heard about your love in the Spirit of Jesus. The Spirit of Jesus was to forgive. Even when he was being beaten. Even when he was being nailed to the cross. The love of Jesus was forgiving. All-encompassing. This is something I have to learn yet, and I'm in the process of learning. Oh, hey, you've been ever so good, you know. You've listened ever so well. And maybe the next time I come to Himley Road, we'll continue to look at this letter that Paul wrote to the Christians in Colossae. He goes on, later in this chapter, chapter 1, he goes on to say to them, focus on Jesus. Whatever else is happening in your life, focus on Jesus. When you see Jesus, you see God. One little girl put it like this: Jesus came into our world to put a face on God. Focus on Jesus. Whatever else might be happening in our lives, Lord, help me to see you. You've promised never to abandon me, never to leave us, never to isolate us. You've promised always to be present. And in a few minutes' time, we'll be taking bread and wine, reminding us of the love of Jesus for each one of us. May we pray. Loving God, thank you for that living hope that we have, not some kind of fictional situation, but a reality of life continuing. Speak into our hearts through the songs that we've sung this morning, through the words of Scripture, and maybe even through what I've been saying this morning. May we know your grace, your peace, demonstrating in our lives our faith in you and our love for one another, because we have a hope for the future in Christ Jesus. Amen.